All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. My name is Erin, and if you don't know me, I've been in the fitness space and industry and the health industry for a little over 10 years in the fitness side, and then in the health industry, it was only about 3 years. But my goal is to help those of you that watch or listen to help improve your lives mentally, spiritually, and physically, and emotionally, really. Because I think those four things create overall health and well-being. And I think that while we're here on this earth, our goal should be to be as healthy as possible. So today I want to talk about some experiences, some things that I went through as my time working as a type of healthcare provider. Next week, what my goal is, and I've been working on this, I was going to do it this week, but it didn't happen. I want to at least once a month take you guys out to do something with me. Maybe it's something that scares me, or some kind of fitness class, or some kind of experience, just something outside of this general setting to push myself and share that experience with you guys and encourage you to push yourselves as well. I had been calling around, I have something in mind, I just haven't been able to find a place that can facilitate that yet. So hopefully I can get it done for next week. And as far as for those of you that listen to the podcast, I record the podcast over here. So if you hear me or see me looking over here, it's just me fussing with the podcast. But for the podcast listeners, if that happens next week, there won't be an actual podcast episode because it will be more of a vlog style thing, a vlog style video. So you can come over on the YouTube side and watch it there. But let's kind of jump into today's episode. And I want to give you a little bit of background. So I went to school for nursing back in like right out of high school. I was like, I want to be a nurse. I thought that's what I wanted to do. So I went to school for nursing. I finished all the prerequisites. And then at the time, at the college that I was going to, there was a wait period. So you would finish all of your prerequisites, you would take some tests, you would put your name down on a list, and then based on your grades and where you are on the list is how you would be placed into nursing school. And at the time, I got told there was about a year plus wait. And then that's when I started to get into health, or excuse me, into fitness. And then throughout fitness, there was always still a part of me that really wanted to do healthcare. I really wanted to take care of people. And I loved the idea of emergency medicine. I'd always loved that idea. If I was a nurse, I wanted to be like a trauma nurse. That's where my heart was. And I kind of finally decided, because at the time I was still owning the gym, my husband had deployed, and I was like, I want something to keep me busy. So I decided to go to school to be an EMT. And where I was from, you at the school, you had EMT basic, you had advanced or intermediate EMT, and then you had paramedic. And those were the levels that we had. So while I still owned the gym, I went through and I got my EMT basic. And I fell in love with it. And then I stayed straight in school. And you could go from basic straight to paramedic school, or you could do this intermediate level. And a lot of the instructors recommended the intermediate level because they said basically it was a bridge. So they were like, if you plan on being a paramedic and you're just not 100% confident yet, or you don't feel like you feel like you want to learn more before jumping, diving headfirst into paramedic school, they recommended that we go through intermediate school. And so I did that. Looking back, I really wish I would have gone straight from basic to paramedic. I had a friend that did that. He did amazing. He crushed it. And did really, really great things as a paramedic. And then I also had a friend that went that route. She went intermediate and then paramedic, and she currently works as a paramedic, and she's one of the best paramedics I know. And so, it's different for everybody, but I think the way that life played out for us, I wish I would have gone straight to paramedic because I never got my paramedic license because we started having kids. And for me, that became the priority. My friend that became a paramedic, she got her paramedic license while she was pregnant. She's amazing. She's an amazing, amazing person. So there are no excuses there, but it just didn't become my priority anymore. So back up, I kind of went down a rabbit hole. So I went to school, got my basic, stayed in school, and got my intermediate. And then once I got my intermediate, my goal was to work somewhere part-time because I own the gym full-time. I was the head trainer, head coach, as well as the owner of the gym. And so I knew that, I couldn't do that job full time, but I really wanted to do it part time or PRN. And in the city that we lived in at the time, they really had one primary ambulance service. And when I called them, they weren't doing part time employees at the time. They only wanted full time and they were short staffed, so they had mandatory overtime, and they just, you know, it's a very high turnover rate as far as that job was concerned. And I was like, you know, I can't do that because I still own the gym. So I called a couple hospitals, because where I'm from, we have a level one trauma hospital. So I, you know, I reached out to them, and they also weren't hiring part-time. And then we had a couple other really good hospitals. So I ended up getting hired on to a hospital for part-time work. And it's interesting because where I was from, your scope of practice on an ambulance versus in a hospital was very different. So your scope of practice in an ambulance, you could push all the medications that you're qualified to push. And, you know, you can do like splinting and stuff like that, and your basic life care and all that stuff on an ambulance. Whereas in a hospital, the only medication that you can push is oxygen. However, in a hospital, you can, for us, we could do casts. So we would cast people if they came in and broke their arm or their leg. We would actually cast that for them. And we could also do sutures. So we could stitch people up. So we would do wound care. So we'd completely debride and clean out the wounds. And then, you know, the doctor would come in and inspect the wounds. And then we would proceed to stitch up the wounds. And, you know, there was a process for that. We could only do, we had to do so many sutures on the body, and then we could move to the hands and feet, and then you can move to the face and so on. So you had to have so much practice for that. So the scope of practice, it was just very different. However, they took me on, they knew that I own a business. They were very supportive of me. And it was also interesting because where I worked, they also had a psychiatric hospital attached. So we had a lot of psychiatric patients that came into the emergency room, and it was actually a standalone emergency room. So we could not admit anybody unless they were a psychiatric patient. So if somebody came in like big, big, big trauma, we would stabilize them to the best of our ability, and then the ambulance would come and transfer them down to the level one trauma center. So it was nice in a sense sometimes, because we had kind of a high turnover rate. But then sometimes it was awful because we were waiting for transport. So we would wait for the hospital, our like sister hospital downtown, rooms would have to open up there before we could move patients, before we could transfer them there. So sometimes we'd have patients sitting in our rooms for a day or two waiting to be transported and admitted, because they were waiting for a room to open up, while downtown also had their own ER, and so their patients would go straight up to being admitted. So it was interesting. It was just an interesting place to work. And I saw so much when I was there, and I did a lot, and I went through a lot. And I think there's things, you know, when you're getting into healthcare, you're like, you know, I'm going to see some things, I'm going to do some things, but that doesn't always register. I kind of compare that to being like a military wife. You're like, people are like, oh, you knew what you were getting into. And in your brain, you know what you're getting into, but until you're living it, you really don't know what you're getting into. And I think when you go into any kind of healthcare position, especially emergency medicine, I think you're like, yeah, I know what I'm going to be doing. But until you see it, experience it, and are part of it, you really, really don't know. But I remember, you know, as I worked there, I just remembered thinking, I wish more people would just take care of themselves on the outside of this hospital. You know, because people come in and it's their worst day ever, and it's, you know, they're either super sick or it's a trauma and something happens, and you're sitting there thinking that maybe, and right, you don't always know the answer to this question. Well, I don't know if you ever do, but you sit there, and I would sit there, and I would think, if you would have taken care of yourself physically, mentally, watched what you ate, done some kind of exercise, would you be as sick as you are right now, or would you be as injured as you are right now, or would you even be in this situation right now? Would you even be here? And I think what so many people don't realize is that taking care of yourself physically and nutritionally is the best preventative medicine. It's not always perfect and crazy things happen, right? Like you've seen really, really fit people come down with things or have things happen and there's just no explaining it. But for the majority, I think we can all agree that if people work out and exercise and their cholesterol's lower and their resting heart rate is lower and their blood pressure is lower, right? They are healthier and they have less of a risk of the really, really bad things happening. And one specific instance that I remember, and it stands out to me so well because I was still pretty new. So we had our triage rooms, and so you would come in, you'd see the triage nurse, you'd tell her what's going on, and then you'd either have to go wait back in the lobby or you would get taken back to triage room, or if it was really, really bad, you would go straight to an actual ER room. And these triage rooms were tiny. They were really little, and they had just had like a curtain that closed, and we had so you could work triage or you could work lean care, which was kind of like an urgent care. A lot of people were in and out. Like, you know, if you had like strep, you could come in, even though it was an emergency room, like you would have gone to lean care. Or you'd go to acute care, which was something like if you're having a stroke, if you're having a heart attack, or if you've fallen and broken your femur, right? Like, so we had those three sections, and that day I was working lean care, which was right next to the triage rooms, weren't really rooms. And I remember seeing this gentleman come in, and he, I'm not exaggerating, he was probably 300, 400 pounds. And he came in because he wasn't feeling well. He's having some tightness in his chest, some shortness of breath. And all of a sudden, you just hear code blue over your Vocera. We had Voceras. And I look down the hall, and the medic that was working the triage bay is now performing CPR on this man that came in. And I remember he was so large that he didn't really fit on the bed. And she had to have the highest step stool we had to even begin doing chest compressions on him. And he was so big that she was having a hard time getting them deep enough for anything to happen. And, you know, the appropriate people went over there to help her. You're really supposed to stay in your unit unless they really, really need your help. But I remember he coded twice that day, I believe. I'm pretty sure it was twice. I know it was once for sure. I thought it happened again before he got transferred out. And I don't know if he survived after he got transferred out or not. But I do remember she brought him back and we got him stable enough to get him transferred to where he needed to be. But I just remembered sitting there thinking, if this gentleman were not in this physical state, and I'm not saying, guys, please hear me out. When I say fit, I don't mean a six pack and ripped muscles. I'm talking about healthy biomarkers, and I'm talking about a healthy percentage of body fat on your body, right? Like, I think we all understand what healthy is. And I just remembered thinking, like, would he even be here? Like, I think it was his dad that came in with him. And I remember his dad was just sitting in the chair across from the trauma room, and the entire curtain's open because everybody's in there trying to resuscitate him. And his dad was just in shock watching his son potentially die in front of his eyes. And all I could think was, would you guys even be in this situation? Like, would you even be here? Like, is this happening because you chose not to take care of yourself? And I'm not saying like life circumstances don't happen. I'm not saying everybody has it easy. And I'm not even saying it's easy to just go and take care of yourself or to just go and get your health and fitness back. I actually think it's one of the hardest things to do, especially if you're extremely overweight, because you have social pressures of what people are thinking about you when you're trying to get back to being healthy. You have the pressures of whether you have support at home or not. You have all the emotional trauma, perhaps, that has led you to being as unhealthy as you are. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it frustrates me when I hear influencers be like, it's so easy, there's no excuses. I do agree with the fact that there's not excuses, but I know that it's hard. And I think it's okay that it's hard. And I think it's okay to recognize, like, this is a hard thing for this person to do, but we're gonna encourage them and we're gonna help them do it. And we're gonna walk them through it and we're gonna be there for them as trainers and nutritionists to guide them and walk with them, because it's hard. But I just remembered thinking, could he have avoided this? And it was just something that stuck with me and never left me. Maybe it's because it was one of the first experiences. Like, I performed CPR on somebody while I was going through clinicals, and unfortunately they ended up passing away. But it was one of the times where I saw someone come in walking and talking and then suddenly die. Like, they coded. Like, they had to be brought back. If we wouldn't have been there, they would have died. If there wouldn't have been medical intervention, they would have died. And I just remembered thinking, you wouldn't be here if you would have just taken care of yourself. Because it ended up being a heart attack, and they attributed it to, I don't remember the whole story, but I do remember them just talking about how big he was and how unhealthy he was because of his size. And man, I just want to encourage you, if you're there, you don't have to stay there. You don't. And it's okay that it'll be hard. And I want to encourage you to find someone or a group of people that will help you not be there anymore. And if you're not there, I want to encourage you to keep going. There is a purpose to what you're doing. It might not feel like it, because I feel like so much of us get into this space of, it's about looks. It's about, how do I look? How, you know, what does the scale say? How are my clothes fitting? I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but like, deep down for me in my core, like deep, deep, deep down, the number one reason that I work out and take care of myself is for my health, so that I can be as healthy as possible, so that I can be the wife that my husband needs, so that I can be the mother that my children need, so that I can hopefully be here as long as God has me on this earth to do what it is He's called me to do. And I know that I can't do that to my fullest potential if I'm not healthy. And I want to encourage you to just do something to keep going or make a step in that direction, because I don't want you to be the person on that hospital bed. Nobody should be the person on that hospital bed. Nobody should be the parent watching their child on the hospital bed, or vice versa, the kid watching their parent on the hospital bed. I told a story on my Instagram a while ago. My husband is a law enforcement officer, and he had a really hard call, and he came home. I remember he cried. We both cried. Where a six-year-old found her mother dead in her room, and she had to call 911. And she was a very, very large woman, and because of her size, she had apparently had long-standing health conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart problems, like congestive heart failure stuff, edema. And the little girl had told my husband that she thought that mommy was just sick again because she said they were in and out of the hospital so much because of her mom's health conditions, because she didn't really take care of herself. Unfortunately, that day, that sweet little girl lost her mom. And I'm not saying that if the mom would have gotten fit, that it would have fixed everything, or that she would have been completely out of the woods. But you don't know. And I think that's what bothers me so much. Like, what if the diabetes would have gone away? What if there's just so much. What if you'd have gotten off of blood pressure medication? What if you would have been able to breathe? What if you wouldn't have gotten so sick if you just got a cold? Like, there's so many things to it, and I don't understand why you wouldn't want to give yourself the best chance possible to be the best, healthiest version of yourself for you and then for the ones that you love. And sometimes I always say this, I think it's so important to do your health and fitness for yourself. I think you should make yourself priority. You matter, and you matter enough to be healthy. But I think sometimes we get into a place where we can't see the value in ourselves. We can't see the value that God has in us, and we can't see what we're worth. And so sometimes those that we love and those around us have to be, sorry, I'm getting all emotional. They have to be enough of a motivation to take care of yourself and to be the best version of yourself. And if that's looking your children in the eyes every day and saying, "I'm doing this for you," and eventually coming to love yourself and be proud enough of yourself and see yourself for how God sees you because He loves you and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, then that's fine. Find that external motivation to start to change your life. But then eventually understand that you are worth it and that you matter and that you have value and that you've been put here for a clear purpose. And then do it for those reasons. And I didn't mean to get so serious. I'm sorry, but I just think it's something that people miss and that it doesn't get talked about. And I mean, for 3 years, I watched scenarios like that happen over and over and over. And even with my husband's line of work, like we would, there were times, not in his department, but other departments, where it was an officer died of a heart attack chasing a suspect, and come to find out they were extremely overweight. Well, would that have happened if they weren't? Would that have happened if they were fit enough to do it? Would their heart have been okay? Would it have been able to pump the blood? Would the clot have even existed? Like, you're not worth chancing it. You're worth living your best life. You're worth so much more than, let's just see what happens. I could be fine or I could not be fine. You're worth being the best version of yourself. And yeah, I mean, just so many scenarios that I could go down, so many stories that I remember and I could talk about for hours on end, which I'm not gonna do. That was just the biggest one that stuck out in my mind. But I can also tell you this, and this is kind of a rabbit hole, and it just popped into my mind, but I know that mental health is such a big thing right now, especially after 2020 and everything that happened there. I worked a lot in our psych unit of the ER. We called it CDU. And I can tell you right now, I don't remember one time having a patient come in and being evaluated or admitted that was physically healthy. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I know lots of stories of professional bodybuilders that have had suicidal ideations and have had a lot of bad things happen. So again, I'm not talking about looks. alone. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about overall physical, mental, and emotional health, right? Like, I never saw someone come in that was physically fit and had problems. And like I said, I'm not saying that doesn't exist. So please know that. Please know that I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I'm not saying that if you're physically fit, you're not going to have struggles or problems and it's going to make you mentally completely healthy. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that I do believe it aids in your mental health. There's something to managing your stress through exercise. There's something to releasing the endorphins when you exercise. There's something to getting the vitamin D and the sunshine and the sunlight if you're exercising outside that help you manage with those things if you deal with them. So this is me encouraging you to take the time to be healthy, to take care of yourself, to find value in yourself and worth in yourself, and to just do the next right thing. Maybe that's going for a walk. Maybe it's having a black coffee instead of a giant Starbucks sugary coffee. Maybe it's having protein first on your plate and then the pasta. Just find the next right thing to do for you to bring yourself to health. And that being said, I do want to let you guys know I do coach people online through online workout programs and nutrition. It is called Driven Fitness. I do have three workout program tracks. There's functional bodybuilding, functional fitness, and express workouts, which are 30 minutes or less. I do one-on-one nutrition coaching, and all of it is only for $5 a month, because I've said it before and I'll say it again, but I believe that good fitness and nutrition coaching should be accessible to anyone and everyone. And I just want to help you learn how to change your life and be the best version of yourself. So if you're interested in that, the link for that is in the description. And I just want to say thank you guys so much. Please subscribe. It helps me out so much. Please like and share. And I hope you're having a good day. And just remember to take it one day at a time. Bye, guys.